Good afternoon. This is Rob. Who's on, please?
Hi, Rob. We have everyone here, and Bryant will be in about 2 minutes. So, but everyone
All right.
else is here, Rob.
Terrific. All right. Hi, Rob. Wonderful. Good afternoon.
Can you hear everyone?
Hey, Rob.
I can. I can hear you clearly. Well, let's begin. What is on your mind this beautiful, sunny day in Nashville?
Is that where you're at, Nashville, Rob?
Yeah, doing a little holiday babysitting.
Okay, very nice.
Well, we've got a little snow on the ground here in Lancaster. I don't know if it's the same in Nashville, so.
We tried to snow here, but we didn't quite complete it. It's a little too warm, but it got down to 27.
Wow, that's cold. Well, yeah, hey, we're moving along. We're fully engaged. We've divided up the clients, so that's been accomplished. Matt, Michelle, you were working on
Yeah, we're just kind of loading up our spreadsheets now with the time management part of it and entering the clients into that slot so that we can then create the folders from there. So, and really kind of dividing who's a butler and who is in our supernova.
We also, I know we had talked about it last week, and I don't know if Bryant had received it, but I haven't seen anything yet. Just an example of what the client folders look like.
Okay.
I think Bryant, he has that, I think.
No, I think it's Cindy. Emailed it,
Right. Yeah.
She emailed over how to put them together, but she didn't actually show us sample. That's what we're looking for.
Okay, so in week three, you get a PDF of each of the pages of the folder. Okay, and then there's a video that tells you, not a video, but a PowerPoint that shows you, how to put the folders together. So that's week three.
You saw that, Bryant, right?
What's that?
The PowerPoint to put the folders together.
I did not see it.
Right.
Well, they told me they saw it, but I didn't see it.
I don't know if we saw it, because I didn't see it either.
Okay, so it comes with the homework assignment. So at the end of week three, you get a homework assignment from Lori. And at the end of that, or part of that email is as an enclosure, because I've had this question a couple of times, and so I went back and said, how are we doing this? Because sometimes we change it up and things like that. But I looked on week three, and in week three, if you guys go back to, get online here, and then look on week three, you'll see, I'll call you up here. It should have, if I search for you, I should have all the emails from Lori. There's week four. And there's week three. In week three. Well, that's week four. Come on. Over week three. Week three meeting 11:13 reminder.
I'm not seeing it. I'm going back through my emails.
Yeah, we're there in the conference room.
Okay. All right. 11:14:2019. You received an email. Cardinal Group Supernova Action Items Week Three. Supernova available client meeting times. That's a sample of what the, a typical day would look like and how you put the times in. And then Supernova folder system webinar. And then client folder contents. And then FA folder contents. So we give you the contents. And then we give you contents for all the different So, for example, we suggest that you have a folder for your centers of influence. For your other, we're going to show you different ways of growing the business. And in each type of acquisition strategy, we suggest that you build a folder. And then the question is, okay, what do I put in that folder if I'm going to meet with a center of influence? Well, there is included in that week three email. Okay? I'm happy to send it again to you guys.
I'm looking at Cardinal Group Reminder Supernova Week 3 Call Meets 11/13. That was sent on 11/11, and it's a reminder. It gives us the...
You have one that was sent on 11/14.
No, I've looked at deleted. I've looked at everything else. I do not have... I have 11/11, and I have... The next one I have is 12/8.
Well, maybe you shouldn't just send it again, Rob.
Yeah.
No,
you
I'll
can.
Just send it.
Yeah.
You know, I'm really capable here.
I wasn't doubting you.
I can do this, I think. All right. Why do I have it? I think she sent this to a lot of different people. Okay.
Gunner. He's in Chicago.
I think I don't know that she sent it to you guys. Looks like she's got the mail. All right, I'm gonna find. Let's see if I can get a. All right, I'm gonna find you guys. Give me an email here. Okay. Here we go. Okay. Yeah, that's not going to do it. Let me see now. Copy. Okay, just a sec. 11/14. I think she may have messed up the she sent it. I don't know. It looks like it went to the right place.
Yeah.
I'll send it to you. We'll get it this right. Okay, paste. There you go. Goodbye. Okay, it's on its way. I sent it to Jim. Okay. Jim Pritchard. Is that all right?
No. You included Jim, or you sent it primarily to Jim? Only to Jim.
Only to Jim. Is that wrong?
He's not on the call.
Uh-oh.
Yeah, he's in Chicago today, so, and he's not part of our team, so.
Uh-oh, that's a bad one. All right.
I sent it to Bryant Ferris, E. Bryant Ferris. Jeez,
okay.
Oh, that's your dad. Sorry about that.
Brian J.
Yeah, that's right. You're Brian J.
My mom didn't want to stay with Elmer.
That's right.
My dad, my brother, and I called.
She sent this to the wrong group. No wonder it didn't get to you.
What happened?
She sent the email address is wrong on this email on 11/14, so it did never get to you guys.
Oh, okay.
Okay.
I'm glad we're not imagining that.
I'm glad we're not insane.
No, you're not. You're not weird at all here.
Are you?
Well, the only apple and sugar.
I wonder why she doesn't have everybody on here. You only have Adrian, Smith, Susan.
Yeah, they're that's the management team. They don't do anything anyway.
That's so funny. Why is she? She's just so weird. Okay, I'm going to. I don't know what to do. I'm going to get your email.
It's not important right this minute, but if you can get it this week, that'd be great.
Right, I promise I'll get it.
Yeah,
I will get
send
it
to Brian Ferris, and he'll make sure he gets it to all of us. So,
and I'll call
send Mark. Everything to Brian.
Yeah, I'll make sure she straightens out this. Gets to you guys, not to management. Okay.
You didn't send any production to her or anything, did you, that we should have gotten?
Yeah, we sent her 3 new accounts. It's amazing.
Oh, man.
No. All right. So, all right, that should help a lot. And we'll square that away. What else? So you're getting organized. You're getting. You're calling clients and giving them the good news, right?
Being very well received.
Good. Good to hear.
I did have one attorney ask if his fees were going up.
That's a very common question.
You must have perceived value.
How much more is this going to cost?
Yeah,
it's a good question to ask, right? I mean, have them ask.
Yes.
I've actually had teams raise prices based on this.
Good, yeah.
You know, if you've discounted or you're not charging what you should be, this does give you an opportunity to do that.
Yeah,
because it is.
No, it's something that. I figure let's let it run through for a year, and then, hey, if we're rocking and rolling, then we'll raise prices. But let's wait.
Well, and the other thing is they can always give you an introduction to somebody that's going to pay you, and that more than pays for the increased service, right?
Right.
It's actually a good way to present it. One introduction or 1/4% increase.
You know, I don't use this in my marketing, but one of the years ago I took a course from Success Motivation Institute out of Waco, Texas, and they taught a program, Dynamics of Creative Selling. It was a really good program. A lot of my ideas originated there and have come, you know, a long way since then. But one of their ideas was this something they call the endless chain referral system, and that the business will continue as long as everyone, and will grow as long as everyone takes the responsibility of simply not breaking the chain. So you as a new client, one of your responsibilities is to not break the chain and introduce us to someone that ends up being a valued client. It's a great idea, and it keeps you kind of focused on growing the business and keeping the chain going. So
that's good. Yeah, no, I think we're moving along, and I think in the right direction. So I'm excited to hear about the acquisition ideas and stuff like that.
Well, this week's focus is on centers of influence and developing those relationships. So did you read it? Do you understand it? Or do you want, you know, how do you want to handle it? Want to ask questions or you want me to talk or what do you want to do?
Well, we watched the video. I think we all watched the video, right? I think I like the idea of treating the center of influence as if they were a prospective client and you know, providing something to them before asking for something from them. And I guess the best way to find those centers of influence is through the system of, you know, can you enthusiastically endorse your CPA or your attorney? And I think that as we get into these calls that we're having, you know, these check-in calls on a monthly basis, I think that's where we start to glean a lot of that information from the client.
Right. Right. I mean, everybody asks me what should be on the agenda. Well, on the agenda can be all kinds of interesting questions, right, about the enthusiastically endorsed professionals. And so you really understand who the client is and who he relies on for his professional advice. Also, I mean, I went through this today as we get into acquisition. One of the areas that you're going to develop relationships through is niches. One of the niches happens to be charitable giving. And I asked a client, I mean, he asked me, how do I get more engaged with this client? She's, you know, she's a CFO of a major company. She's very involved in the community, and I'd like to make a good impression on her. She's going to have a lot more money coming in, and so forth. And I said, well, what are her primary charities? And he didn't know, which, you know, is fairly common, I guess. But it's really important that you know where your client, you know, you want to know their children. That's the thing that they're most passionate about. But right behind children for a lot of people are their charitable giving interests. Some people aren't, but people that are very passionate about it. And so you need to know what those are. And we'll talk about how to leverage that and how to, you know, help them by, you know, through engaging. But that's another really critical question to know and be part of your agenda is understanding what it is that the client is passionate about, hobbies, other things. But giving is a big one. So, let's talk about centers of influence. Centers of influence are, there's two different kinds as we define it. One is professional centers of influence, and that's the ones we traditionally think of. CPAs, attorneys, estate planning attorneys, commercial realtors, residential realtors, business brokers, and others. Then there's our natural centers of influence, ones that that are just clients, and they give us business, and they like a center of influence by definition is someone that likes you and trusts you and sends you business without you asking. So you have those. Everyone has those. Now, what we don't do is we don't train them and we don't encourage them enough. What we do is we thank them and we appreciate it, and that's usually enough for the client, but we need to turn them into a regular sales force for us where they know exactly what we want and they're hunting for it on a regular basis because they've already proven they want to give us business. Now they just need to know what it is that we want. And then teach them better how to get that business for us and get those introductions. So there's various stages along the way that we need to train our centers of influence and our clients on how to be more effective and to be more successful in what they intend to do. Think of them as really wanting us to have new clients. Bigger, better client, but they don't know how to do that most effectively because that's not their job, right? That's our job. Well, we don't think about it enough, so we don't do it particularly well, so it's kind of a, you know, haphazard operation at best. Now, some people that do it incredibly well, it's not haphazard at all. It's very effective. And it's very efficient. So let's just talk about for a few minutes the whole process of what do you want from a center of influence? Do you want a name? Do you want a phone number? Do you want them to give someone your name and have them call you? I don't think so. Yeah, you don't want any. Right, you want an introduction. And you want, what you really want is an in-person introduction. All right, that would be the most wonderful thing, right? An in-person introduction where they came in, introduced you, spent some time telling the prospect all about you. Then they get up and leave, and you're there to hear from the client what it is that you want, they want, and then what do you have to offer that makes you attractive. And keep in mind that it is a mutually beneficial interview. It is not one where you're just interviewing for the job. You're interviewing them to be sure that they're going to be a good fit and that they have the minimum to meet your requirements. So that generally changes the whole way you think about this.
Well, can I ask you a question here?
Yes.
Like for instance, like Michelle and I have an attorney that we've referred a lot of business to, an estate planning attorney, but we really haven't gotten much back, Tony.
But he says that he is bringing up our name
every
time.
Right. Do you think we go to him and say, hey, you know, we appreciate you bringing up our name, but we have a favor to ask you. We'd like to, you know, we want to continue to send referrals to you, but the next time you get a referral, will you do an explain to them our process that we want to do an in-person meeting, introduction, and then step away? I mean, is that something you think is feasible, or a estate planning attorney is not likely to go for that?
Well, what you want to do is you want to kind of, just like you're doing now with your clients, you're kind of reintroducing yourself with a new service model. My suggestion is that you have a meeting, a lunch, whatever, breakfast, lunch or something with the estate planning attorney and tell him the good news, just as if he was a client, just as if it was all going to be part of what he's going to get.
He is a client too.
All right, so meet with him, tell him what's going to happen, what you're doing, and he's going to go, you know, what are you going to get? Multi-generational planning, full implementation of the planning process through 12 scheduled appointments, 4 reviews, 2 of them in person, rapid response to your problems, 1-hour response, 24-hour resolution. How does that sound? He'll say, wow, that sounds amazing. How are you going to be able to do it? You'll say, because we're going to have less than 100 clients each. And he'll go, wait, oh, I wish I could do that, right? So now he sees that you guys are really committed, all right? So this is a new ball game. You're changing the game. And when you change the game, you can change the game for him too. And you say, look, this is what we would like to do with you. We would like to build a business relationship with you. So it's something that's going to be terrific and mutually beneficial. Here's the way we see it working, okay? And then you explain to him what you're going to do. We'd like to share ideas with you. We'd like to share business with you. We'd like to think of us as your business partner, right? So the first step in this business partnership is we've really never met your team. We'd like to meet your team at your premises. We'd like to know what you want, what your minimums are, typical ideal client. We'd like to meet your staff. We want to know everyone that's going to touch our client. All right. And so you have that meeting, you go there and they tell you all about their practice. And don't think that they don't want to tell their story. They do. They're proud of what they do and they want to tell you. And you want to know what it is that they do and what makes them unique. And then you bring them to your store. And you introduce your team based on the 5-star model, explain how you're organized, what you do, how you do it, what everybody's roles and responsibilities are, who to call for what, et cetera. Now your team knows their team really well. All right, so that was 1, 2, 3, 4. This is the 4th meeting. You're saying, wow, that's crazy. What? If you were going to go into business with somebody, you'd have 4 meetings. You wouldn't have 1 meeting.
Right.
You'd have meetings, right? You're going to go business together. This is going to last for 20 years. That's the way to think of it. And the fourth meeting is where you teach them the enthusiastically endorsed model. And you basically tell them, we each ask each and every of our clients, can you, by the way, enthusiastically endorse your estate planning attorney? When they say, no, we need a new one, we refer them to 3 people. You're on the top of the list. Okay.
Okay.
And he says, well, that's all well and good for you. What should I do? And you say, well, you do the same thing. You ask your clients and anyone else that you know, by the way, can you enthusiastically endorse your financial advisor? And when they say no, you say, I've got the team for you. Okay, now, this is where, this is the process then. So what we're going to do at that point is we're going to close for an introduction. All right? And they say,
okay.
Yeah, I'd be really open to that. And they say, well, I'd love an opportunity to meet them. Why don't I set up a lunch? And they say, great. Why don't I set up a breakfast? Why don't I introduce you over coffee? Okay? Now, we know how to do that, right? And so for you, I'll go through how you do that, okay? So let's say you were going to ask for a close for an introduction. So what you say is, let's take, for example, you have a client he's a good example, right? He's got a good prospect. New CEO moved into town. He wants to introduce you. And you say, okay, right, how would you suggest that we meet? That's the question. So you're not telling him. You're asking him, not for a phone number, not for a name. How would you suggest that we meet?
Okay.
And he'll go, I have no idea. You go, okay. When, you know, do you see him? When is the next time you're going to see him? Well, he comes to my office. Would that be convenient? Why don't I stop by and we'll have coffee? And he goes, okay, he's coming in, such and such. That would work, right?
Mm-hmm.
Or if it's somebody else, they say, you know, why don't we meet in the lobby? You've got a Starbucks there. Why don't we meet for a coffee? And you introduce me. Perfect. Okay, good. Okay, so today is, and just kind of hesitate, today's what, Tuesday, Wednesday? Oh, today's Wednesday. Okay. Today's Wednesday. When are you going to see him? When are you going to talk to him? I'm going to talk to him this week. Okay. How about we set it up for next Wednesday at 9 o'clock in the coffee shop, or 8 o'clock, which is better for you? He says 8 o'clock. Good. 8 o'clock next Wednesday. All right. You good with that? Yep. All right. If I don't hear from you by next Monday, I'm going to either call you or email you. Is that all right? The guy goes, yep, that's great. But I'll take care of it. All right. So you don't hear from him, you email him or call him. So you see what you've done is you've maintained control the entire time.
Right.
So that's called the advice model. You ask for their advice. You're going to hear about the advice model all the time. Because the best way to keep control and get control is to ask questions. Okay?
Okay.
So your question is, if you were me, how would you go about meeting him? Okay.
Right.
So we're going to use that on niche marketing. We're going to use it in a lot of different places. So whenever you get stuck about what you should do next, always ask for their advice. It's a great tool. It just saves you because you don't always have the advice. You don't have the answer, right? You don't know what the best way to meet him is. Now, if he says, you know what, I'm swamped. I have zero time. And you say, you don't eat? You don't go to coffee? No, I'm sorry, I don't. I eat at my desk. I have no time. Okay, so let's do a phone introduction. Okay, good. That would work, right? Let's just do a conference call. So I'll get you on the line, and then I'll conference him in. Does that work? Yep. Bingo. Done. All right. Today's just goes through the same thing. Today's Wednesday. Let's do it next Wednesday. What's a good time for you? 3 o'clock. Good. 3 o'clock Wednesday. Okay. So second is a phone introduction, and that you can do long distance. So you don't need, you know, the person doesn't have to be here. And the third is an email introduction. And that's not terrible. I use it all the time in meeting people, you know, through friends and the internet and all that stuff. So it's better than anything, you know, where you just get a name and a phone number, or you're trying to call them, they don't call you back, and now you're prospecting, and you don't want that. Not when you've got an introduction. I mean, you want that. Okay?
Okay.
It's a lot to absorb, okay?
Yeah.
But it in the chapter on working with centers of influence and niche marketing in the Supernova Multiplier, I go through it exactly the same way in excruciating detail. So take that chapter and listen to it on audio every day for 5 days, and you'll be an expert on the words, on exactly how to do it, and you won't have to rely on me. These calls are recorded, so you could listen to this call over and over till it gets into your brain. But the answer is, you've got to get the right words. Words are the key in our business. They're the tools you use. You use a butter knife or you use a scalpel. You know, one works really well, and one you work all day and it won't work. So make sure you have the right words in the right order, and you'll get the right, you know, the results you want. I tell people, you know, you don't go out and play on a college team in tennis first time you pick up a racket, right? You got to practice. We don't practice. We expect to go out and win in a game
right.
that we're just beginning to learn. So you need to hear it over and over, and then you need to practice. And then you need to go into the game. And then don't expect to be world class the first time you do it.
It's going to take
okay?
a while.
It takes a while. You got to practice. Now, the question you say to yourself is, how many times did you use that technique this week? That's what you say at your Monday marketing meeting. How many times did you use the Center of Influence introduction question this week? How many times did you try it? Tried it 15 times. How'd it work? Awesome. How many times did you try it? 3 times. How'd it work? It didn't work. Well, that's because you didn't practice enough. You didn't do it.
Okay. That's good. Thank you.
Rob,
go ahead.
Is there a recording or an MP3 of that on your library, on your website?
Well, there's this recording, right? We just did it. So you have that, and Laura emails that to you at the end of every conference call. I also did a webinar on this that's on the website, and you guys have access to the website. As long as you're taking your coach, being coached, you have access. So I did 7 different webinars on each technique, each different marketing idea for growing your business. Okay, and then in the Supernova Multiplier, I again explain it in excruciating detail, and you can listen to that over and over on audio. So I'm not out to sell books. I just think it's the greatest way to learn. In the Navy, we learn spaced repetition. It changed learning for me.
Okay.
Once I understood that I could, you know, I could listen to something over and over, it made it so much easier for me to learn. Because I was a good audio learner. And, you know, I wasn't as good at reading it once and remembering it. So it's a help. You just have to kind of know how you learn.
Okay. No, good.
Yeah. The thing that people do is they're almost embarrassed by the fact that they can't learn something after hearing it once. I mean, that is so ridiculous. I'm teaching my 5-year-old to read, and she's learning in school, clearly. But it just takes patience and constant practice and keep going back, and she's getting better and better. But nobody expects her to know it right away. Why do we think we can learn something by hearing it once? It's kind of crazy. Right? So give yourself a break and say, hey, I need to hear this once a day for 5 days. After that, I should know it. Okay.
We'll try it. Yeah.
Yeah, try it. You'd be surprised. You'll really get comfortable. And confidence is the key to all these techniques. You're not going to use it unless you're confident.
Right.
You're going to have a mile worth of excuses as to why you didn't try it.
Okay, good.
Yeah, yeah. The key is to give you, just be patient with yourself. Just, you know, people win in golf. They don't win until it's been a while in their career, and somebody says, "Why did you think you won today in this golf tournament?" I said, "Because I stayed patient. I waited for the opportunities rather than pressing." And what we need to do is just be patient with ourselves in learning, and just keep practicing and being patient. It'll come. It'll come. You'll get it, and then gradually you get it, and then you try it out. The other thing I find is that if you really do your homework and you really listen to the videos, and then you're going to have questions, right? If you don't have questions, you probably aren't really trying to absorb the material. You're probably just skirting through it. So what I want you to think about is develop some really good questions that you don't have the answers to.
Right.
Okay, from the material each week. It will raise the quality of the call.
Okay.
Because I can spew and I can answer everything. I just don't know what you don't know.
Right. Yeah, we don't know what we don't know.
You don't know what you don't know until you try and use it, or you try and really think to yourself, do I know that? Could I do that? Could I go out and do that today? If I didn't, what it is that I don't know about that, but I'd like to know? And what are my questions about? Does this work? Why does this work? Why do you use this? Why do you use that? And that will make the quality of your training experience twice as good as what it would be if you just tried to listen to the video, listen to me, and then go to the next chapter. You're just not going to. Everything takes much, much longer then.
Okay.
Okay.
Nope. Sounds good. Sounds good.
Yeah.
Good on it. No, this is good. This answered some of my questions. So, big one.
Well, that's the point of the question becomes, when we have to we're required to give three names. So how do we handle three CPAs and three attorneys and three of this and that? What we suggest is this, is that you think of it as like a baseball team, and you've got one batter up. That's your lead CPA, all right? The one that you just are the most confident with. And you put the most time in, and it's a real partnership, right? So you meet with them monthly. And then the one that's on deck, that one you meet with quarterly. And then the one that's in the dugout, you meet with twice a year. So you're always nurturing them. Now I'm talking about meeting, not talking. You meet with them, okay? Because you want to become friends. The people that do this the best tell me that they get a lot of introductions from them. And I say, how long did it take you to develop the relationship? They said, oh, 20 years. I said, really? And they said, yeah, but I don't have another 20 years. I want to figure out a way to do it faster. I say, well, how long does it take to become friends with someone? I said, well, I don't know. Could take a long time, but if you wanted to become friends, you could do it in a fairly short time. You just have to put more time in and more effort. That's what I want you to do. I want you to become friends. So don't pick somebody that you don't want to be friends with.
Okay. Okay, good.
You see what I mean? It's really important to get that. And then this other idea is that you become a connector. And not just, you know, a giver or a taker or whatever. And you're not a matcher, like he gave me three and I've given him three and he's only given me one. You don't do that. You connect people to solve problems. And it could be any problem. Somebody could be having trouble with their child's drug problem, and you find a counselor for them. That's an introduction. It counts.
Okay.
It counts. Okay? So you're a problem solver and a connector. And over the, you know, people say, what's the industry going to look like in 5 and 10 and 20 years? I said, you're going to be, the good ones are going to be life coaches who solve problems for people and get paid a retainer for it.
That's a good, that's why I've always felt that's what we're good at, connecting people with it and solving issues. And you're right. I think that's the way this is going, and I like that life coach idea.
Well, the very first life coach used to be in our business. That's how we started from. So it's natural. And I think of myself as that. So I think it's really good.
Good.
All right.
Like
so
it.
Let's use this as our learning experience and how we're going to learn in the future, and just kind of build off of this model that we discussed today, because it's really more fun for you guys and it's much more fun for me.
Okay.
And, you know, I do this for fun, actually.
Yeah.
You think of me?
No.
You guys know that, right? I do this for fun?
Yeah.
Okay. I don't have to explain. But it's true. And if you're learning and growing, then I'm having fun, and my foundation grows, and life is good. So we want that. Plus, you're from Lancaster, which is, you know, my home.
Right, it's your birthplace.
My birthplace.
Yeah, no. We're good. We're good. We're getting there. Yeah. But, all right, no, appreciate it. We're on, are we next week, right? We're on for next week, or are we off next week, Brian?
I think we are. We're on for next week and then off the next week.
Next two or three.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. Sounds good. Sounds good, Rob.
Okay. So. That'll give you a chance to get caught up or whatever. Have
okay.
a nice holiday. I'll see you next week. Thanks.
All right. Thanks, Rob. Appreciate
Thank
it.
Bye.
Appreciate it. Bye-bye.
Bye.